No one really knows Ron Van Dam. He's an enigma, wrapped in a mystery, cloaked in secrets, stuffed in between two pieces of French toast encased in a pancake, smothered in cheese and deep-fried until golden brown, then duct-taped into a rusty toolbox, packed into a used Amazon shipping container with gaffer's tape, and mailed overnight to a bunker in Siberia where it's kept in a locked vault, whose combination is known only to a mute priest with a bad memory. So yeah, he's sort of a keeps-to-himself kind of guy. You're listening to that man of mystery, Ron Van Dam, on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I put cheese on everything.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm not proud that I put cheese on everything. I'm just saying, it's like a, you know, intervention. Yeah, I put cheese on everything. My name is Ron.
Hi, Ron.
I put cheese on everything. Ooh, ooh, God, ooh, oh, God. Actually, I don't put cheese on everything. I just say I do to become popular. Have you noticed? Oh my God. Have you noticed that Chinese food has no cheese involved whatsoever? What's up with that? Welcome to the program. It is a Ron Van Dam Show. It just is. Thanks for stopping by. I do this every weekday. I have been doing this for 30 years. Oh, what's wrong with me? Yeah. Did a 3-hour morning show for about 20 of those years. Then went into the podcasting business and the media business and still doing the syndicated radio, but I mean, God, when will I shut up? I know. Anyway, thanks for coming. I really appreciate it. What? You didn't bring a bottle of wine? Don't you understand? When you come to somebody's show, you're supposed to bring a bottle of wine. And when my show is over, you're supposed to give me a bouquet of roses and a kiss on the cheek. Don't you have any etiquette at all? Well, or perhaps it's a fantasy of mine. I'll never be a beauty queen, but I'd like somebody to bring me a bouquet of roses. I think that'd be very nice. Anyway, hi. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. Happy September to you. Whatever. Whatever day this is, I don't know what month this is either. I have no idea. Is it daylight savings time? I don't know. I think I've saved enough daylight for a while now. It's time to cash it in. The days were too long over the summer, weren't they? Because it was so hot in most parts of the country. And for those that don't understand anything, it was hot all over the world. People were dying in Europe where they don't have heat like this. Half those people in Europe, you know, those Europeans, they don't even have air conditioning. They forgot to have that installed. Seriously, a big problem. So in my eyes, thank God this summer is over. It was way too humid. I mean, I might as well just lived in a hut in Costa Rica or an apartment in Florida. What's up with Florida? What's going on with you people? Maligning Disney? Oh, don't do that. Oh, don't do that. You malign Disney, you're going to have 5-year-old girls kicking the shit out of you. Don't even try that. Matt Gaetz is a Republican from Florida. Wow. This is making sense now. People used to retire to Florida. Now it's like, no, I don't even want a vacation there. Thank you anyway. What's going on with that penis-shaped state? Used to be a nice place with the palm trees and everything. You're screwing it up. Cut it out. All right, enough about Florida. I could go on about Florida. I lived in Florida for a short period of time. I think it was 3 minutes. I lived in Florida for about 9 months in my college years. I wasn't going to college there. I had a girlfriend who lived in Coral Gables, Florida. Lovely girl. And I, in my infinite wisdom of youth, decided to quit life and because I lived in New York and moved to Florida for 9 months. What a stupid thing that was to do. Had a great time down there, but at the same time, just stupid. But, you know, you got to do your youth. You got to, once you get a job and you're stuck in a place and you get married and you have children and have responsibilities and bills, you can't just run around anymore and do stupid things. That's, you know, there's a stupid time to do the stupid things. And I guess for me, that was right. So I lived in Coral Gables, Florida for 9 months. And I'm surprised that I survived. It was like 100 degrees outside. And then I went inside to any store and it was like 20 degrees. I'm surprised my body didn't just say, hey, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? I did have a job in Coral Gables, Florida for 9 months. I did have a job. Thanks for asking. I worked in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was an usher. And I had a great time. That was my great time of life. You know, your kids are, you know, on their way to college, graduating from high school, whatever, starting to drive, and they want to do crazy things. You know, I hate to say it, but you got to let them do that because they grow a little bit older. They can't do that stuff anymore. Now, responsibility takes a lot of stuff out of your life. So I don't know. I hope you had a little adventure somewhere in there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I went down to be with this girl for 9 months, and I lived I rented an apartment down there, and it was crazy, man. It was crazy. I would get up in the morning, and on my carpet in my bedroom, there'd be a lizard. What? This is like Jurassic Park here. I mean, like, whoa. Lizards freak me out. They are little dragons. They have little claws, and they're lizardy, and I don't love them. I might pick one up, but I don't think so. And there were cockroaches, man. Cockroaches like you wouldn't believe, the size of buses. Huge cockroaches. They didn't even call them cockroaches. They called them palmetto bugs because cockroaches was just an understatement. And these cockroaches or palmetto, whatever you call these things. I mean, it was like living in a zoo. I mean, in Florida. I mean, there were just these weird animals just living with people. It's weird. I remember coming out of an Italian restaurant. It was Rocky Graciano's. He had he's a boxer, and he had a chain of Italian restaurants. There was one in Coral Gables, and I loved the place. And the sauce, what they call it, gravy? Eh, that's not gravy, it's sauce. Their meat sauce was, to die for. Not that I would have died for that, but it's a phrase that you use. I mean, it has nothing to do with death at all. But anyways, coming out of the restaurant, feeling very, very good, and with my girlfriend that I was visiting for 9 months, and we walked out of the restaurant, and leaning on the lamppost outside of the front door of the restaurant was a cockroach palmetto bug leaning against the lamppost on its hind legs, smoking a cigarette. Whoa, that is balls. That's a feisty bug. And again, that just like escaped my manhood, just went like, oh, ew, ew, ew. I had no manhood at that point. Anyway, that's a little bit about me. Or blah 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 blah. That's a little bit about me. Now tell me a little bit about you. Uh-huh. Really? No kidding? How old were you? Oh, yeah. I get it. So what'd you do? No way. Get out. Did you really? I guess you didn't have a choice. And then what happened? Whoa. Why did you do that? Oh, my God. How long did it take for the wound to heal? Oh, yeah. That happens, too. Yeah. Yeah, the pus meant it was an infection. Oh, you did? Good, good. And they gave you a prescription? Yeah. Yeah, don't do that again. Don't do that again. That's a bad idea. Do not do that. That's a crazy story. I can't believe that happened to you. It makes my story sound like nothing. Wow. I don't even want to deal with you. You're beyond it. That's crazy. Well, all right, now that we've bonded, let's move on with the program. I don't even have time left, do I? Okay, I do. I have 20 minutes. Hey, Capitol Hill, you know where that is? Right over there. They're having a hearing. You know, they're having a hearing test. Welcome to the hearing. Can you hear me? No? All right. Turn the microphones on, Joe. Okay. Welcome to the hearing. Elon Musk. Where the hell did he get that name? Was he named after a men's cologne? What the hell is that? Elon. Elon's coming. Don't name your kid Elon. It doesn't make any sense. There's no such thing as an Elon. It doesn't mean anything. It's stupid. Elon Musk. I mean, if you have a name like Elon Musk, you're not going to be working in a convenience store. You're going to be like kind of special somehow. I don't know what, but... So Elon Musk, he's a billionaire. One of those. And he just buys up these conglomerate companies and he runs them into the ground to the point where they're worthless. So he bought Twitter and then he overhauled it and started destroying it handily. They have a new logo. This is the age of new logos and new branding, ladies and gentlemen. When someone does a new logo and a new branding, it means it's not working. Very similar to what Steve Gutenberg did with, is that his name? Did with Facebook. You know, and now he created a parent company, Meta. I don't know what that means. I guess Facebook was like meeting people, so I guess Meta made sense, but I think that's more of something else. Anyway, so Facebook had to change its whole thing and its name and all that. So Elon decided to change Twitter by branding it differently and making you pay a little bit extra for premium service. You're special if you're responsible on Twitter, and then you pay extra for that. And now it means nothing because everybody's paid extra, and I haven't though. Anyway, he's rebranded the logo. It used to be a bird, which I thought was infantile. I mean, I'm not a two-year-old, but you're tweeting, I guess, or twatting, whatever. So it used to be a bird. I think it's changed now. He changed it to an X with a black background, like he's a Jolly Roger on a pirate ship with an eye patch over one eye. So they've pulled him into Capitol Hill to explain himself, Lucy. Twitter now seems to me to be a sinister death mode. I mean, a white X on a black background? What is that supposed to mean? It's not, doesn't seem very happy. We go from a happy bird to a to a poison sign. I mean, come on. Every time I on my cell phone, it's got all the icons, you know, and it's got this black X, and it's like, uh-oh, don't touch that. Don't touch that. So, yeah, black X. And now I'm getting confused between Twitter, which is an X, and Xfinity, Comcast, which is also an X. I guess X is in these days. I really don't know. It's a strange branding move, Elon. Elon, what would they call you for short? Eel? Lonnie? The hell do you call this person? Muskie? Strange. A stupid name. Wow. Something wrong. Something wrong. Anyway, what else do you want to talk about? Yeah, I know. My neighbor down the street had his and her, and they're married, had their steps redone, their front steps. I guess they were starting to crumble away. So they had their steps redone, and it was a landscaping company that apparently also does front steps. And took them about a week to do it. And when they were finished, they left. But they left behind lawn signs. And they stuck them not only on the property of the place where they did the front step work, but also at the beginning of the neighborhood on the main road. And I find that offensive. Because to have your steps done can cost you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And yet the gall and audacity of this step company putting their signs out, well, thanks for paying us all that money. Now we're going to use your lawn as advertising. And they don't even ask. They just start sticking signs all over the place. They've never done that on my property. And when they wanted to, I had a hardwood company. I have hardwood floors. I don't know why. And I had to have them redone because they got screwed up because I had a cat that decided I'm going to pee anywhere I want, including everywhere. So I had to have my floors redone. So I had this hardwood company come in and re-shellac, you know, to do that, you know, sand them down and then apply another coat of whatever that is. And when they were finished, they took their sign, this particular hardwood company, and they stuck it in my lawn at the front of my lawn. And then they started to leave, and I walked out and I said, well, I've just paid you well over $1,000 to do this job. That was more than $1,000. And now you're sticking an advertising sign on my front lawn. Here's the deal. You can remove your sign or you can lessen my bill. I just paid you the full amount, and now you're using me for advertising without my consent. Get your sign out of here. I think that's deplorable. Deplorable. I mean, if I had to have my dishwasher repaired, I pay them a couple of $100s, and when they leave, they stick a sign in my lawn saying, Bob's Dishwasher Repair, with the phone number. My property is not an advertising gimmick for you, unless you want to discount my bill, and we'll come to that barter, that understanding. Don't go sticking stuff in my lawn. You have no right to do that. And if you ask, I'll deny you anyway. Because it's tacky. You do work on my house, I pay for it. And then you use me for advertising? No. See, you have to speak up. You have to say, you know, yeah, you can leave your sign there, but then give me a discount on the bill. I mean, will you advertise for free after I paid you? If it was a free job, you can put all the advertising you want out front. But I just paid you. We're done. You do the thing. I pay the bill. We're done. If I need you again, I'll call you. Don't go sticking signs on my lawn. Doesn't work like that. Not with Ron. Ron don't play no games like that. It's a double negative, and I apologize. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us. But first, this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish, or maybe bagel and a schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dances. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Dr. Seth Baum joins us now. He's a cardiologist and quite a predominant one at that. We're talking about medications for cholesterol problems, high cholesterol. You've been involved in this topic field for a long time, I understand.
I have, yes. I would say very actively for 25 years.
Okay, all right. I assume that over the 25 years that the treatment options and the control of bad cholesterol has increased greatly.
So it's a great point. In 1987, the statins were first approved. Mm-hmm. They are the bedrock of our treatment of LDL cholesterol. Since that time, there were actually very few significant advances, a couple of oral therapeutics here and there. Mm-hmm. Then in 2015, there was a tremendous advance with the PCSK9 inhibitors as a drug class that reduced cholesterol another 60% on top of statins. Mm-hmm. This was a major, major advance, something that we were all very, very excited about and thought that this would be a game changer. The problem was when we started prescribing them, the insurance companies blocked our prescriptions.
And what reason did they give for doing that?
Excuse me?
What reason did they give for doing that?
Well, the reasons they cited were, you know, had to deal with indications. Is it the right patient? Is it not the right patient? The reality was, though, this had to do with money. We prescribed to the right patients at the Family Heart Foundation.
Sure.
We had a major publication that demonstrated that when the insurance companies blocked these prescriptions, that patients had heart attacks, strokes, and other cardiovascular events, and within a matter of months after having the drug prescribed. In other words, there's a tremendous urgency to get patients on these medications.
Hard to believe, but certainly is the case, unfortunately. Let me ask you, the PCSK9, is that always in concert with statins, or can they replace statins?
Yeah, so the current recommendation really is to use those drugs in conjunction with the statins.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, reducing the LDL cholesterol to a safe zone, to a very low level, is what we're aiming to do. The statins give you this baseline reduction, and then on top of that, we get another 60% reduction with these medications.
Yeah. You're preaching to the choir here, because just about everybody that's listening that's over a certain age probably is engaged in these medications. It is that common, isn't it?
Well, so it's very, very common to require medications to reduce LDL cholesterol.
Yeah.
It's not very common to have been prescribed a PCSK9 inhibitor or to be on a PCSK9 inhibitor.
Right.
And that's a problem. That's a giant problem.
Right. You know, it's interesting, just as an aside before we get more into that, it's interesting how many Americans take the statins as prescribed for years, decades, but still eat like crap, figuring that, well, if I take the medications, then I'm good. I don't have to worry about what I eat anymore. Do you find that to be the case in your travels?
Yes, unfortunately, that is often the case. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a bedrock of cardiovascular disease prevention is what we call therapeutic lifestyle changes, which is having a healthful diet and exercising on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and maintaining an optimal weight. These are very, very important elements of preventing cardiovascular events like heart attack and stroke, and they need to be done in concert with medication.
Yes, very much so. Then you can be really healthy, which is nice.
Because, exactly.
Yeah, well, we live longer, and if you're living longer and you're in pain and turmoil, that's not good.
That's correct. It's not good. And you know, the example of maintaining optimal weight, for example, will not just reduce your risk of heart attack and stroke, but reduce your risk of cancers, yes. and arthritis and other bad things. So you're right.
All right. It says here in my notes that when multiple attempts are made through insurance companies, that sometimes some of these new prescriptions do go through. Why would it be that way?
So there is, you know, the insurance companies have established a number of barriers. They're called utilization management techniques, mm-hmm. prior authorization, step therapy, things like that. And they're used really to block, you know, larger numbers of patients from getting these meds. It's a cost-saving tool.
Okay.
If you fight hard enough, though, and you work with your doctor, and you go to a place like LDLSafeZone.org, mm-hmm. which is through the Family Heart Foundation, you can actually achieve success. And it's very meaningful. It can decrease the risk of a heart attack or a stroke, which is not inconsequential.
Wow. That's sad that one has to go through all these hoops just to be healthy.
It's very sad, you know, and the odd thing about this is we live in America, which is a wonderful nation. We have more of these medications than any other nation has. Available, and yet we have problems accessing the medications, yeah. because of barriers such as the ones I described through the insurance companies.
Yeah. I mean, not only accessing them, but actually paying for them where they're less expensive in other countries than they are in the place that they actually make them, which mm-hmm. which is
yeah,
there's a lot of craziness
in the situation.
Yeah, it sure is. All right. So, you mentioned a website there where your chances of getting this through are better. What is that website?
So the website is the LDLSafeZone.org.
Okay.
And it's important to access this website because you get great help from the Family Heart Foundation. It's also important to recognize that the patients always have the loudest voice in this situation. So use the voice, get the medications you need.
Dr. Baum, one more question for you. How up to speed are most family practitioners? I mean, minus cardiologists, because not everybody sees a cardiologist to get a statin medication. How up are they on this new development?
Unfortunately, not as up as we like them to be.
Uh-huh.
And cardiology often doesn't prescribe to the extent that we would like cardiology to prescribe as well.
Uh-huh.
Again, you know, not to put this on the patient, but knowing your LDL number, being aware of the urgency of reducing LDL because you can decrease the risk of heart attack or stroke. If a patient understands this and advocates for himself or herself, you can talk to your cardiologist, you can talk to your family practitioner, and you can get the medications that you need.
Right. I see a lot of commercials on television for various drug prescriptions, and it says, tell your doctor about this. And I always wondered, does that actually work? Because I can't prescribe my own medications for something I see on TV. Is that actually helpful?
Yeah, boy, you have no idea how effective that is. When patients come into us and say, hey, I saw such and such, or what is my such and such number? We respond. We really respond. And frankly, yeah. And if your doctor doesn't respond, if your doctor just is dismissive, then you need to consider whether it's the right doctor for you. Because I'm serious. We should always listen to what our patients are telling us and asking us. It's very important.
Interesting. I did not expect that response. Good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Where do we go for more information in general?
So I think LDLSafeZone.org is excellent. I think the Family Heart Foundation, the entire website is excellent. They'll help direct you to other resources as needed, but it's done in a very patient-friendly manner, not using a lot of jargon. Right. So I think it's very accessible.
Okay. What state do you practice out of?
Florida.
Oh, I'm moving to Florida. Okay. Hey, Dr. Seth Baum, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much. All right, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. Thank you so much for your tolerance. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.